Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it.
Toppy, toppy.
It's Blackham.
Hashtag fuck headers.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
Well done. Bye bye.
Come on.
Hello and welcome to A Burkamp Wonderland. This is the post-Burnley game. We came out 2-1 winners. Tonight, I will be joined by, or this afternoon, I should be saying. Firstly, we'll go with the man who likes to annoy everybody underground. It is Carl. Carl, how's it going?
Oh, I thought you just meant in general, I like to annoy everyone. I mean, it's an achievement that I try every day, but you know, as long as I annoy Ellis and Andrew Fife, then I'm fine with that.
I think you've certainly got the underground covered. Like, you've annoyed everybody underground. You've just got to work on that overground.
Oh, don't worry. I'm working on it. But I'm fine. How are you, Josh?
I'm pretty good, thank you. Because I am also joined by my other ginger bro from another mother. Jason. Jason, how's it going?
It's going very, very well. Just remember, I'm only half ginger, so I have half a soul.
Yeah, that's true. Zero soul for me. Yep. I've even got Carlos Vela on my back. That's how little of a soul I've got. Also, shout outs to the chat box before we start with going through the game. I can see we've got Micah for Life in there, Joshua Page, Celebos is, or Celebos. I'll work out how to say his name at some point by the end of the show, is a god. I think we can all agree on that. I've got Archie, I've got Stefan Selby's in there. Arsenal Red and White Army TV. Oh, I think I've seen J-Rob in there as well, hiding about. So let's start with the game. Carl, lineups. What did you reckon? We saw Chambers, Xhaka and Mickey all come out of the side and a couple of debutants in there.
So when I think you and I and Chris were talking on the pod during the week, if you haven't listened to it, listen to it. Very good. Listen, we were talking about whether Chambers was going to keep his start in place. And I guess Chris made a good point, which he doesn't do very often. And he did say, if you're going to bring David Luiz in, this is the game to bring him in. And I think it was kind of ideal. When you see someone like Socrates and David Luiz at the back, you know you're going to be for a tough game. And Burnley's two strikers as well, Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood, they're big guys, so they needed someone to deal with them, and I think those two players were the ideal centre-back partnership. So I guess Emery got that correct. Celebos coming in. How do we actually say his name? Is it Celebos? Is it
Ceballos?
Ceballos. Okay, that's the way I'm saying.
Technically,
it.
You would say Ceballos, but I'm not going to do that. Ceballos.
Okay, so I'm saying Ceballos. So Ceballos coming in, which I'm kind of pissed at, because I took him out of my fantasy football because I didn't think he did too well against Newcastle. So I am fucking fuming. But anyway, him coming in was a good addition. Again, I think it was always good to bring these debutants in. And I think the only person I was kind of shocked at staying in the squad was Nelson. I thought he would come out for Ozil, if I'm really honest. But obviously Ozil was ill or whatever excuse they gave us today about his condition, but I think it's probably more about what happened to him off the field rather than on his actual physical well-being. But the squad for me was a strong lineup. It was something that I think we needed. Like, I'm really happy that the players who played came in, because I think they all played well, and honestly I can't think of a bad person on the pitch.
Excellent. J-Rob, thank you very much for the donation as well. Thank you as always. Jason, one of the things Carl said is, Nelson keeping his position in there. What was your thoughts of the lineups and Nelson coming over to the opposite flank as well to accommodate Aubameyang?
Yeah, I actually thought I was sort of the reverse of Carl. I thought Nelson was going to start. I thought Willock would have been the one that would have gone out there. So I thought it was a good strong lineup. I was surprised to see Ceballos starting. I thought he would have come in as like probably the first sub in this match at like 50 to 55 minutes, try to get him a good amount of time there. But it was good to see him start. I think we now all know why he started. It was good though. I love I absolutely love when we play Laka and Abba together. The fact that they can sort of interchange, Laka's ability to hold up the ball and allow the teammates to get around him is good. You can have Abba running off of him. You add in the speed and pace of Nelson as well. And I think it was a really good formation. And then two good experienced center backs back there with Socrates and Luis coming in. And yeah, I was really happy, really happy. Again, also happy that we started with four at the back and not three. I thought maybe Emery with an eye to next week would play three at the back today to start. Cause I think that's what he'll do next week to help offset that the Liverpool attack. But really happy that we were a little bit more positive at home and started four at the back and really, really, really liked seeing Willock in that deeper role as well. And I know we'll talk about performances, but that was exciting to see him there beside Guendouzi. Cause I think what we saw today was obviously not perfect from him. But I think it was a really good start to a partnership there that we may see for years to come here at the Arsenal.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you on that one. It was interesting to see who we kind of brought in. I think Mkhitaryan coming out was almost the one that I think all agreed on was probably the first person we would drop out of that side from that side for that group. So it was a decent start from Arsenal. I think the first note I've got, Carl, is corners from Danny, we're going to say. I'm going to avoid Ceballos and we're going to go with Danny, even though I think I've just nailed it. So what did you reckon to kind of his delivery as well from set pieces? Because
he can get the ball into the box, and that's a bonus for anybody. Because as you know, Arsenal over the last few years are corner taking has not been the best, and there's been all sorts of theories, the reason why, because it's on, I think the corner is on a slope, or just I don't know, because remember, we can never beat the first man, and it's always been a problem. Whoever's taking the corner, whether it be whoever from, it doesn't make a difference, but we could never beat the first man, Ozil. Yeah, it was always annoying. Even Cazorla, he could never beat the first man either, which is really, really annoying. But his delivery, and I think it was very, very good, because he was getting the ball into the danger areas, and that's what you want. You want to put the ball on the penalty spot, or at least get it into the 6-yard box to get that flick on, or because you just never know, once you get the ball into the right areas, what could happen. And I think his delivery for me today was absolutely brilliant. Just one of the things that he'd done really well.
Did I imagine Mustafi taking a corner for us last season?
I might have imagined that.
And maybe I'm just thinking it was Phil Jones.
Yeah, I just got to say, maybe it was Phil Jones.
And I'm just deciding, it was like, one of our banter players must have taken a corner. but yeah, Jace, I think, well, we saw that kind of all those, as Carl's alluded to, the corners basically being one of our routes to goal, with Lacazette getting in. Talk us through that goal.
Yeah, I think the reason, and Aubameyang is definitely like sort of the main guy, the main goal scorer. But the reason I love Lacazette is because of just his pure work ethic, right? And I'm not saying that Aubameyang doesn't have that. Maybe Aubameyang just comes off as a little more easygoing, but you can just see the fight that Lacazette has, and that's what we've wanted in an attacker. I think we've had strikers in the past who have had fight. But they haven't had the technique. And Lacazette has both. And the fact that he scored a goal in Danny's favorite position, a.k.a. laying down, just is a testament to how hard he can fight and win and put himself in a good position that when he does fight, it can pay off for us. And to be able to take that, you know, with his back to goal, sort of trying to half turn, falling down, and still be able to get a foot to it, and Meg Pope there in goal is just, it's wonderful to see. And again, I think what we're seeing with our corners is that we do want to go near post. And if we can flick on, we'll try to flick on, or it's that tenacity and that sort of that will to win at all costs, coupled with the technique that he has that makes him an absolutely special player. And he's probably my favorite player in this team. And it's just absolutely wonderful to see, in a great way to fight for a goal against a team who we know is going to fight against us all day. And to know that we've got players who will give that fight back is good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we lost you for a little bit during that. It might've just been me that didn't hear you, but I think the point was still there and made really well. Thank you, Jason. Carl, what did you think? Also ask the chat box. Chat box. I've seen we've been joined by Ellis Mel is in there.
Who's that?
I don't know. Some guy with awful taste in shirts. Chris Lodato, Mike Hernandez, Loki 73. I think I've seen Thunder Road in there being up to his normal brand of mischief in the chat box. Oh, Pablo Aymar as well. I don't think it's the same one that Messi looked up to in his youth. But yeah, Cole, what did you reckon to the goal as well from Aubameyang? Not Aubameyang, just... Lacazette.
Oh, we all look the same to me. I see what you're seeing, Josh. No, and in all seriousness...
Aubameyang totally took on the goal earlier.
No, but fuck in all off. Seriousness, I think that it showed his strength. I mean, right? I think, rightly so, I don't think he had any... He shouldn't have scored from there. It had Arsenal had conceded from there, I would have been fuming. I really would. But it just shows, you know, his upper body strength to hold off the defender, to turn and shoot. I think it was a really good goal. And I think it won't get the credit that it deserves just because of everything that went with it. From someone to score from that, such an acute angle. I mean, I know it's lucky the ball going through the goalkeeper's legs, but from you think the goalkeeper would have closed down and there wasn't much space for Lacazette to actually shoot and to go into the goal, a handful of places, and that was probably one of the only ones. So people will look at it and say it's scruffy, but I think it was really skillful, and it won't get the credit it deserves at all. For me, that's what Lacazette does. I mean, you're not going to say Lacazette is a one chance, one goal striker, because he did miss some chances in that game as well, but it just shows his quick footwork. He may not be the fastest player on the pitch. He's not. But his footwork is, for me, is really, really quick. And his close control is so good. He can get out of tight spaces very, very quickly. And I think that, for me, just shows his qualities. And I think him and Aubameyang just complement each other so well.
Take myself off mute. I'm learning, guys. I'm learning. Still, you know, still early in the season. We'll get through this. Yeah, absolutely. In terms of that kind of goal from Lacazette, and I'm sitting here on my own, but I still got up and celebrated with him for that. Not shirt over the head yet. That probably come at some point. But I think, yeah, in terms of how we were playing, it kind of needed to come. I'm also saying to the chat box, talking about performances, there is how many of you in the chat box? Oh, there's 138 of you watching, and I've only got 29 likes. I mean, I can make it 30 by liking myself, but that seems rather egotistical. So if I could get other people to like for me, it seems a lot better for all of us. So yeah, if you could get a thumbs up or subscribe, and subscribe, do both. Why not? And then you'll get notified for when we go live after every games, or if we choose to do an impromptu live podcast, because occasionally we set it up wrong and we accidentally go live. So moving on further through the first half, I've got an absolutely incredible save from Leno. Do you remember that bit, Jace? I know he was offside, I think Ashley Barnes, but yeah, what a save.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the fact that I think he's the keeper that saves us 10 points a year as opposed to Cech, and that's no necessarily dig at Cech. It's just I think Leno's gotten that. He's that much better of a shot stopper, whether it's your near post or going to the far post there. The other good thing with him that I think we're seeing as well is he's trying to command his box a little better. I think he's something he still needs to work on as well, but he's not nearly as bad as we've had in the past. I'm not going to name any names, but no, absolutely wonderful save. And I think the reflexes that he has are just top notch, and hopefully we can keep him around at the club for many years. And, I think the good news is we've also got a guy in Emi Martinez on the bench who I don't think is too far behind Leno as well. So the drop off there is not going to be too much. And hopefully that can continue to push each other on. But yeah, just an absolute wonderful reaction save to. And the great thing about that save as well was he didn't clear it back into the path of a defender. It fell to the feet in between two defenders as well. And I think that's another, whether he meant to do that or not. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say maybe he did, and just give him credit for it because I want to be as positive as I can. But it was really good. Absolutely spectacular. And he made another one later game. I think Ben Pope as well had a couple of really good saves against our guys too. So credit to him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, I saw through that kind of first half, Mike Dean was kind of quiet. Eventually he showed himself to everybody. Nice little yellow card for Aubameyang for not getting the full 10 yards back. Was this just Mike Dean being Mike Dean on that one?
Yes and no. I think he knew what he was doing. Aubameyang knew what he was doing. He wasn't 10 yards. You know, there's no doubt about it. He wasn't 10 yards. And should he have been? Yes. Whether it should have just been a telling off, it's debatable. I don't, because if he was already on a yellow card, would he have got a second yellow card for that? I very much doubt it. So for me, it was Mike Dean being Mike Dean. However, Aubameyang should have known, to be honest. And I don't blame him, but you know, he could have done a bit better. So it was just pointless, if you know what I mean. Just like very, very silly. But
look, first offense on that should never be a yellow card.
However, if the rules of the game state that if you're not the full 10 yards and they take a free kick...
Let's not act like...
No. You've frozen, Jace. All right, I'll say my piece then. So for me, if the rules of the game are that if you're meant to be a full 10 yards and you're not when the goal, when the kick is taken, is it a bookable offence? If that is the rules of the game, I genuinely have no problem with that. I really don't, to be honest. But I thought it was a bit stupid giving him the yellow cards. Just Mike Dean wanted, because he had nothing to do up until then, did he, Josh? So, no. Yeah, so obviously the game was going past. There wasn't a Mike Dean moment. And because there wasn't a Mike Dean moment, he felt like he needed to get into the, you know, into the limelight. Because that's just Mike Dean for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Jason is, although Danny has said that Shredder has 1 terabyte of internet. Let's let him back in.
My Wi-Fi kicked me off and my Ethernet let me back in. Sorry, Danny.
It's all right. I've got two Jasons right now.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't know what to do. I've kicked one of them. Anyway, is this the one that's talking?
Don't worry. Two of me is like having a Matteo Guendouzi and a David Luiz in your pitch, and it's very much like that Spider-Man meme.
We've got one whole ginger soul now. In the we're up now. We're up to two souls in the on the panel. So, Jace, what was your point that you kind of rudely got broken off by your internet?
No, I think my point was the fact that I don't think Mike Dean truly cares about the laws of the game. I think Mike Dean cares about the laws of Mike Dean.
Oh yeah, 100%.
That's where that comes from. I think if that's an Andre Mariner or anything else like that, it is probably a talking to. But because it's Mike Dean and it's Arsenal, it's definitely a card. Insanely unfair.
Is what we were saying, just saying to Josh, like, because he had nothing to do in the game up until that point, he felt like he needed to, you know, let the camera be on me because I haven't done anything.
Yeah, I agree on that one. I think we should remind everybody that Andre Mariner legally changed his own name from Andrew to Andre. We'll continue on that one. So just late into the second half, kind of our build-up play is just really interesting with everything coming through, like Ceballos and Willock getting a lot more into the game than he was Newcastle. Who enjoyed the Samba style from David Luiz? Carl, bringing it back. That showboating.
Do you know what? Like, I loved it, but my heart was in my mouth at the same time, because that's what we're going to get from David Luiz tonight. And just a quick mention on him. I think he had a solid game today. I really do. I mean, we'll talk about the Burnley goal a bit later, but it's fun. It's nice when it comes off, but if he does that sort of nonsense and it doesn't come off, like there was a pass that he made right across the 6-yard box to Sokratis, and my heart was in my mouth because I thought to myself, no one would ever do that. And I don't know if you saw the interview after the game with him and Aubameyang, and even Aubameyang, when they mentioned it in the interview, even Aubameyang's face was like, yeah, what the fuck was you doing? But you know what? You're going to get some good days with Luiz, and you're going to get some bad days. But the most important thing is that Mustafi isn't playing.
Yeah, that's true. Mustafi would be doing that in his own 6-yard box rather than up by the opposite corner.
Yes.
Kind of bringing the style. But yeah, unfortunately, after that little bit of showboating, we ended up conceding. Jace, talk us through the Ashley Barnes goal, because there was a hint of potential offside.
Yeah, funny that VAR didn't catch that one, right? But it, you know, I think Socrates tried to do his best to try to block it. And it fell sort of awkwardly. I think as good of a day as he had, David Luiz started to sort of track the run and didn't realize that Barnes had sort of pulled off of him and didn't follow him back. And that created the space. And then Guendouzi's just sort of left there to try to catch up and, you know, plays the sort of the ricochet off of Barnes' boot there into the net. And it's just, I think it was really unfortunate. One, it was unfortunate to let a guy and an asshole like Ashley Barnes score against you. But to have it sort of done that way, and I didn't get a good replay about whether he was off or not. I think the closest thing I saw from the angle that I had was Luiz was playing him onside as well when he you know, thought he was coming closer to the spot. But an unfortunate goal, and hopefully, you know, in the future we can continue to bounce back, I think, like we did from that goal. But yeah, it's just really unfortunate. And you, I thought, you know, Socrates tried to do as best as he could. But it seemed like definitely at times like we were just allowing the crosses to come in, which the midfield and the wingers need to do. I think just need to. Their point from this match is to just close the ball down a little bit better, because it seemed to be something we were allowing throughout the match.
Yeah, Carl, did you think that with that kind of goal coming in that it was kind of coming, wasn't it? There was options through that, or times during that game where, you know, Maitland-Niles was coming a bit too narrow, and meaning that everybody was kind of just bunched up and there was always that man free on the opposite side of our box. You know, that's kind of what led to it.
Yeah, it was annoying because as much as I hate to say this, like, and God rest his soul, I'm going to use a line from our mate Steve, Brexit Burnley, they were building into the game, and that was annoying because you could see what they were doing, and every time they got the ball, it was across into the box. It was every single time they got the ball across into the box, and they were testing us, and the problem is that no matter who you put in the Arsenal defence, when there's a little bit of pressure, we kind of crumble. And for me, it just seemed that positional awareness wasn't together. And I'm going to say this, it was their first game and maybe they didn't quite read the lines. You know, you've got to have a line to know when to push up, when to fall back. And it, like I said, it was their first game, the whole defense, the first game together. So you can't really say that they should be in tune with each other. No matter how much training you do, sometimes you don't always prepare for a live game match environment. But David Luiz was playing in one side and it was a legitimate goal. I was hoping that it wasn't, but as soon as you saw like the replay, you thought, yeah, it's definitely a goal for them. And it's just annoying because if we had gone in at half time, that would have given us so much more confidence to come out. But I think just conceding, that's the worst time to ever concede, just before half time. And that does knock your confidence a little bit, no matter what. He's always gonna you just concede then, and then you're going and thinking, oh, damn, like, why have we conceded? Like, it gets into your head, and the team talk dynamics change absolutely completely. Like, you don't have the same team talk because you're going in at half time, you're going in saying, yeah, we're confident, this do the same thing, guys. But Burnley would have gone in, and their team talk would have been, come on, we can get at them. So, again, that fires them up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And talking about how we kind of come into half time, you know, conceding in 42nd minute is never ideal. But let's just talk through how we nearly came back into the lead as well, and that disallowed Nelson goal. Jace, just talk us through that whole move.
Yeah, I can't correct. Who was the one who put the ball into to Nacho?
Danny.
Danny. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, it was a great build up there, and he was able to get the ball, and I think, you know, as much as people were sort of slating him at the end of last year and maybe his legs were gone then, maybe he was fighting something we didn't all know about, but it seems like Nacho's legs are a bit back, at least early this season, which is good. Cause he looked a little lively down that left-hand side, and it was a wonderful ball in. And unfortunately, the first angle I thought was, no, he's 100% onside. And I think the best part about this as well was the amazing first touch finish from Nelson. near post, high and hard, nothing the keeper could do about it. But unfortunately, you know, Nacho was just about a sort of a half a man offside there when they showed the VAR angle here. And I was pumped because I thought, like, what a great way to snatch a goal literally right before the halftime whistle, completely negate what Burnley had done and go in with the lead. And unfortunately, it was the right call because he was offside and VAR got it right. And I think that's what we all wanted in the game was just better accuracy with that. Would have been nice to benefit if we didn't have it and they would have just allowed it. But, you know, getting the calls right, you know, both ways is definitely important these days. But I still think we took that as a positive going into halftime. And, I think we came out and I think, Carl, you know, love to get your thoughts on how you think that affected us going into halftime was knowing that we could still create even after that goal. And I thought even though we didn't get the goal, it still created a lot of positivity going into the half.
Definitely. I still think that when you concede at that moment, your head still goes down a little bit. I mean, it depends on the team talk. If the manager had given them the correct team talk, like, don't worry about it, guys, like, heads up, we're going to come out and we can do well. Like, it's something that that could make or break a team. If you go in and you're disappointed, because at the point we were playing well in the half, and I just think that Burnley were just creeping back into the game. And you could sense it. Like, I think no one was shocked when they scored. Like, if it had come against a run of play, then maybe, you know, you'd feel, no, come on. But it was coming. They were just growing and growing and growing. And I think probably we even needed halftime to come just so we could get in, reset. The manager could just tell the players what to do. And for me, it didn't make a difference, but you could see how it definitely could have, just because that's in the back of your mind. You know what I mean? It's you thinking, oh shit, we just conceded. You know, if we'd gone in 1-0 at halftime, we would have been up, buoyant, in the mood. Even though we was always going to be able to create chances. It's Arsenal is at home, and look at the players that we now have. And I think definitely the team would have been buoyed by the way that Danny was playing, because I just think he was head and shoulders above everyone on the pitch today.
What did you think to Nelson's performance? Because I know we're just getting up to half time and he came off, Carl, at the break for Pepe. Well, how did you think he played?
I didn't think he had the best game. And this is why, even when for Newcastle, I didn't think he had the best game. And that's why I was kind of shocked that he started as well. And looking at it, I could tell that Emery was going to make a half-time change, but I didn't know who, if I'm really honest. He would have been my pick. I would have taken Nelson off for me. And, like, he didn't do anything wrong in the game. I'm not going to say that he made loads of mistakes, because he didn't. But he just didn't play as good as we probably needed him to play, or just wasn't his game. Like I said, he's done nothing wrong. Like, he didn't play a bad pass. He didn't play poorly. He just wasn't on par with everyone else today.
Yeah, I think he came a little too narrow, which is one of the reasons why we're kind of having problems with that kind of build-up play. And it's one of the issues that we have with, you know, him coming inside, Aubameyang coming inside, and then you've got Lacazette there as well. It just kind of didn't have a balance to it. You need at least someone to continue out on the wing, and I think Aubameyang being that player kind of held us back. So that was half-time. Came and Pepe started to come on. So quick thank you to Michael Hunneman as well for that donation. He says, Danny Ceballos is a baller. Them silky skills from him and Pepe literally gave him a semi. TMI, Michael. but yeah, let's go into Jace. We saw Pepe come on. Just interesting to kind of see how he started to integrate. What did you reckon to his kind of early performance in that first half, second half?
Yeah, so I think, and I put this in the groups as well at the time, was I actually think this was a pre-planned halftime substitution. I don't think there was anything in Nelson's performance really that warranted him coming off at that time. I do think that Emery likes his wingers to come in to be a little bit narrow at times and then to have the overlap with the fullbacks. So I think that was maybe a little more instructed than it was just Nelson sort of being on his own. But I think really this was a preparation sub for Liverpool you know, next week. It's getting Pepe minutes, getting him a large chunk of minutes to get some fitness in, see how this get, see how the sort of the these matches are played in England. And you know, I think he had some really bright spots. He had one wonderful through ball to Aubameyang that we didn't finish on, but it was just really positive. And he had a couple other times where he just really showed those flashes, and you can still see he's still adjusting to the speed and the style here in England. But at the same time, he's such a talent that that I think we're going to be really, really pleased with him for years to come. And we just got to be patient with him, because you know, it may take him a year, maybe even a little bit more, to fully, you know, acclimatize to this style. But the good news is it seems like he's got enough raw talent to still have an effect on some matches.
Yeah, Kyle, what did you reckon to his performance as well from Pepe? We'll move slowly. Well, we had that kind of chance from him, didn't he? Mm-hmm. With kind of a good save from Pope, that chance for Aubameyang. It's kind of the sign of things to come.
Yeah, I think the 45 minutes that he played today was good. I think, you know, there was as Arsenal, we have a good counter attack, and sometimes that just like one little pass just sort of messes up a little bit. And there were, I think, maybe one or two that happened on. But you could tell that as soon as we get our playing rhythm together, and as soon as these players know each other, like where they run and how they want the ball to be received and the things like that, I think we're going to have a really good player on our hands. Like Jason alluded to, I think as soon as, you know, he beds down into English football and he gets used to the physical aspects and just how the team actually plays, I think we're going to have a front three that people are going to be scared of. I think, you know, I hate to give them credit, but Liverpool's front three is for me really, really good. It's phenomenal. You know, look what they've done last season. And I think we kind of, as long as we can get the team playing behind them, I think our front three is good enough to rival Liverpool's, if not be a little bit better. But I think we just need them playing well together and being on the same wavelength. And as soon as that happens, then for me, we are going to be very, very good going forward, better than we are now.
So, yeah, talking about players who have seemed to have adapted very quickly to the kind of English game. Let's talk about the second goal, Jace. Lovely kind of breakup of play from Ceballos and Aubameyang. Talk us through it.
Again, it's a goal off of work rate. And I think that's what we've all wanted. You know, as much as it's great to play silky, one-touch, smooth passing football, in the Premier League, you're going to have to get goals based off of work rate. And that's what we saw from Ceballos today. And I hate having a shot at the guy while he's a little bit down and while everybody else seems to be piling on. But, you know, Fife made a great point in the group, is that that's not a goal that we score if Mesut Ozil's in the team. He's not going to make that tackle that far up the pitch. He may, like, sort of harry the player a little bit, but he's not going to get stuck in like Ceballos did. Ceballos got stuck in, freed the ball up, and it released Alba. And what a finish from Aubameyang, right? Just, you know, curling it in at the near post. And again, it's those types of goals that we're going to have to beat the teams like Burnley. Yeah, we're going to need to play silky smooth football, but also we're going to have to scrap and fight and create chances from nothing like we did today. And I think that sort of piece of play from Ceballos was just indicative of how he literally controlled the game for us in midfield today. He reminds me so much of Santi Cazorla, and it makes me miss Santi a whole lot. But he looks really, really good and crisp. You know, he's got good footwork, obviously, but it's his pace and tenacity around that as well that really excites me. And you see that willingness to get stuck in his second game in the league, you know, coming in and starting against an insanely physical team like Burnley. And he wasn't bullied. He wasn't bossed. He took the game by the scruff of the neck. And when he had the ball and when he didn't have the ball, I thought his movement off the ball today was absolutely excellent as well. And well-deserved from him there. You know, would love to see the team celebrate together, but absolutely, you know, thrilled to watch him, you know, go off and celebrate on his own for some really good work that he did as well. And just really great. And again, you can't say anything better about Aubameyang's finish there.
Yeah, Kyle, talk us through the goal and also talk us through Ceballos' performance, because I think this is a kind of key time to talk through how he played in the game.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to be one of these people that can get overhyping because of one performance. You know, today, let me not say he played really well. He did. He played brilliant home debut. You couldn't ask for more for me. That if you were at a stretch, you could say, oh, yeah, I wanted to score. But for me, brilliant home debut, absolutely brilliant. But like I said, this is one performance, and let's not get too excited over one performance. You know, we've seen players come in and perform well after one game. We hype them up, and then, you know, they turn into...
How dare you be realistic, Carl? How dare you be realistic?
But yeah, if he can, I mean, we're not... And what I don't want Arsenal fans to do is expect performances like that every week. It's not going to happen, let's face it. And if he does, then bloody hell, I'll be absolutely flabbergasted, and I'll be really happy if it did happen every week. I really would be. But, you know, there's going to be games where he's not going to be as good as he is today. But for me, today, brilliant. He just done everything well. He was silky. He was confident on the ball. You know, some of the tricks that he'd done, the passing, his passing range as well, which is something I was really impressed with.
Yeah.
The short range passing, the long range passing, his eye for a pass as well. Sorry. Sorry. Was brilliant for me. And, you know, I think in one of the groups that Andrew said, if Ozil's in the squad, we don't score that sort of goal because Ozil doesn't tackle that guy. He doesn't win the ball. He doesn't pass forward to Aubameyang. And for me, that was the whole build-up. And you could see how glad he was when even the celebrating that he didn't score that goal. But you can tell just how happy he was, maybe is the word I'm looking for. That, you know, I don't know if that does that class as an assist? Maybe it is. I don't know. But for me, it's just shows that he's bedding down into the team. The Aubameyang goal was brilliant. You know, the shot. And Ashley Pope. Is it Ashley Pope?
No.
Nicky Pope. He's no poor goalkeeper. Even though he does play for Brexit Burnley, that he's no poor goalkeeper. And for Aubameyang to shoot and then beat him in at the near post as well, for me, just shows how good Aubameyang is. And we really need him to push on from what he did last season. You know, he finished the season really well. And hopefully this season coming, he can carry on to where he finished off last season and go and win the Golden Boot once again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in terms of the midfield we've created for those two strikers means that I think we're very much in for a shot with the Golden Boot with either them or him or Laka. So we saw Kolasinac come on for aforementioned Lacazette. Jace, we saw him come on the left wing. Do you think that's maybe where we'll see him play for the duration of this season, now that we've currently got three left backs in the squad?
Yeah, I do. I think it'll only be when we really go to a back three, which is, you know, when he came on. Was it Ceballos that came off, I believe, for him? I can't exactly.
It was Laka that came off for him.
Ceballos came off for Traore a little bit later, but yeah. And then we moved to a back three at that time with Luiz in the middle, Nacho on the left side, and then Sokratis on the right side. So we moved to the back three at that point. I do think, yes, I think Emery only sees him as a right wing back, left wing back, does not see him as a left back at all in a back four. But it's good to have that variation because I think the way that Emery likes to play, we know that he wants to set up based on the opponent. And if he wants to play three at the back, I think it gives him a good option of somebody who isn't necessarily the best defensively, but can do a job as a left wing back further up the pitch defensively to harass and harry and try to put a tackle in. I think it was good for him after everything that's gone on with him off the pitch, you know, with all the craziness around that. It's probably good for him to be able to get in and just focus on football right now, to take his mind off that and sort of, you know, let that be the off the pitch stuff, but focus on his football and let that occupy his mind. So, yeah, it was good. And I think, you know, like I said, I think we're trying to set up for a back three next weekend against the wall pushers, because I think we're trying to definitely make sure that as good as that their front three are, they don't completely, you know, run rampant over us. So I think it was a little bit of a test to that as well, to see how he wants to set this team up if we play a back three next weekend. So, but yeah, good for Cola to get on there and get some minutes for the first time this season. Love that he tried to dye his hair green as well, based off of that crossbar challenge in preseason, and it didn't work that well. So he just decided to go with the blonde. Also very hilarious. And again, Josh is muted.
I know. Poor host.
What are you doing next time? Sitting there in your ivory tower. Right, let's go to the chat box quickly, because we're nearly done the game, so it means we're nearly time for questions as well. So if you pop your questions in the box, I reckon Carl will go and grab them out of there and pop them into our little mini chat so we can go through them in a second. I've seen there's a couple in there from, I think Michael Hardiman's dropped them in. Thomas from Norway is in the chat box. Loki73. Paul Myrus. I think that's how you're going to say it. Maybe Myrus. I'm just going to ruin everybody's names today. Mike Hernandez, I can do that one. Carlito Alguna. Don One is in there as well. Yeah, and of course as well, because how many are in there at the moment? 244? 246. Now, 67 likes. And zero thumbs down, to be fair. So, you know, not all too bad. But that could be a lot higher. And if Jason Davis was here, you know what he'd be saying? Something like tappy tappy to make us happy. I think that's his new saying for this season.
You know what he would say right now is he would say that the Arsenal performance and our performance was well greater than 60 something likes. Come on, boys.
We've already got a thumb down from that now as well. So tell my performance
that's
is excellent.
100% only for Josh saying that. So way to be the jinx there, Josh. Way to be the jinx.
I think that was Danny. I think Danny put his thumbs down.
Yeah, I think it was Danny. I think we can get to 100 thumbs up, though, in the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Otherwise, I'm going to have to come and do this again, and it's terrible for everybody when I have to do it. So let that be a warning to all of you. So let's continue through the game. Kind of Pepe, who got through his kind of his great skill. Should we talk through that as well, Carl? The nutmeg on Ben Mee, left him for dead.
Lovely, and that's what I'm hoping that he's going to bring to the team. It's the excitement, and I think it's the unknowing of what other teams don't really. I mean, because no one really watches the French league, to be honest. Like, it's a shit league for the farmers. So for me, it's the people would have only known about him by reputation, and obviously they would see today what he can kind of do. And I'm glad. What I'm really happy about is he's a direct player, and by that I mean, he's the sort of person that will get the ball and run. And I know that's what we kind of hoped that... what's his name again? I see Uwobi. So he's gone out of sight, out of mind. Don't even care about him no more. I know that was... it's a sort of thing that we're hoping that Uwobi would do. You know, like get the ball and just run. And hopefully that Pepe would do it, but more effective, because it won't be, although he tried to do it, but God bless his cotton socks, like he's just didn't execute it properly. But with someone like Pepe, you can tell that he's the sort of person that knows what he's doing, knows where he's going to run to, and then knows when he's going to release it or when to shoot.
You caught me just there mid choke as well. right in the middle of the pitch. Cheers, Carl. So, Jace, we saw Pepe having those kind of chances, and then Ceballos kind of coming off to a standard ovation. Lucas coming on. What do you think about little Lucas's performance?
It was good for his time, and get him a few more minutes here. I'll say he has a fresh haircut as well that I just noticed. I didn't recognize him at first, and I was like, oh, he's just okay. His hair's a lot shorter than it was. But no, I thought it was, it was a good first performance for him of the season. I don't think he played at all last weekend. If my memory serves me right, but no, it's good. I think it's, and everybody knows how big of a fan I am of Xhaka. It's good that we have the depth to not even have Xhaka on the bench this week. The fact that we can have Willick, we can have Guendouzi, we have Torreira in there, like all those players who can play. Danny can drop back into that deeper role as well and play there, and it shows sort of the good depth that we have to be able to bring a player like Torreira, who we know is just like a little bulldog nipping at people's ankles and always trying to get in on a tackle. And I'm glad that when he had that little run in with Leno, you know, defensively, and it looks like he landed a little awkwardly on his shoulder. That wasn't anything serious. So, you know, a decent performance coming off the bench. You know, didn't you know, tear up any trees or anything, but he definitely, you know, trying to get some minutes and trying to get some match sharpness in him, which is always good.
Yeah, he had that kind of decent shot.
Yeah,
just before the game kind of finished up. But just after that, we had Pepe have that run, and tried to lay in Aubameyang. Oh, that was a Wobie-esque, wasn't it? Oh, there we go. That's all for you, man. Pepe stands out there. from an Iwobi stand, you can have that back. But in terms of kind of running up to the game, kind of coming out of there, we did enjoy a little bit of karma from Ashley Barnes getting a yellow.
Yeah.
In general. But let's talk about David Luiz and his performance, because he did pick up a yellow card in that. But Jace, talk us through overall. What did you reckon to his performance?
Yeah, I think he showed why we signed him again. And I know people are saying like 8 million fee. And they're talking about, well, if you count the money that we spent, we got from Koscielny, and it's only, you know, 3 million pound fee, and it's good business. And yeah, he's not my favorite defender, I'll be honest with you. I've been telling people before, some other Arsenal fans that are somewhat newer to Arsenal in the last couple of years were like, oh, we got David Luiz. And I was like, he takes our defense from like a 3 to a 4. And maybe I'm underestimating him a little bit, and I'm more than happy to have him prove me wrong, and I'll hold my hands up and say that he has when he's done so. But I think he played really well today. He didn't track Barnes well for their goal there. He got caught out in no man's land a little bit for that. But other than that, he was really good in the air. His distribution was good. He tried to find that lock on that one ball over the top. And Carl, that's probably one of the main reasons why we got him, isn't it? Is if we are having, you know, a little bit of trouble breaking the press, like I think we were in the first half, one of the midfielders can lay that ball back to David Luiz, and he can go sort of route one on that. I think that's probably why we got him. You know, one of the reasons I would suspect.
Yeah, like you, Jason, I don't. He wasn't my first, second, third, or even fourth choice. Yeah. But I think the money that we spent on him isn't too bad.
No.
And he's a natural born winner. You know, he's won titles in England. He's won the Champions League. He's won titles in France as well. So you can't, from what he is, and he doesn't need adapting to the Premier League, because he can mix it with the rough and tumbleness. So, you know, like I said, I wasn't annoyed with the signing. Like I do think it's what we need at the moment, but it's a short-term fix for what we need right now. He does come in and sort of replace Koscielny. And for me, he's definitely an upgrade on Mustafi, that's for sure, because Mustafi just isn't the one, not in the slightest. But his distribution, because he had a ball over to Aubameyang in the first half, and for me, that ball over to Aubameyang was brilliant. It was just absolutely, and one of our other defenders could do a ball like that. And I looked at that and I thought, yes, that's the reason why we got him, because, you know, for things like that he can do. Yeah. So yeah, by sure, he can get you out of trouble as well, because he's not just gonna hit and hope into the stands. He's gonna do a long ball, he's actually probably gonna hit a person or one of our teammates. And I think as soon as, again, they start playing together, him and Aubameyang, and like I said, I think those balls over the top, you know, call it a long ball, call it a long pass, whatever you want to call it, it makes no difference. But they will become more and more get out of jail free card and also start an attack.
Do you think he made our defence look calmer today than I think we've seen it in a long time?
I think so. I mean, I hate to keep harping on about this, but anytime Mustafi's in the defence, you do worry. You do want to do, because he's just not up to par. I'm not saying I am saying that he's just not a good defender. He isn't. He panics. But I think with David Luiz there, and you've got someone like two figureheads now, Socrates and also Luiz, they're two people who have been around the block, you know, combined age of 60-something. So... You know, let's face it. And they do. I mean, they're calm. They're not rash. They are. I think they definitely bring a lot of stability. And they talk as well. You know, Socrates would have been talking to AZ Maitland-Niles, telling him when to drop back. And also Monreal, you know, he's also an elder statesman. So he's not rash. And he also, I mean, you think about our defense today, think about the combined age. It was literally probably about 80 years old, I think. So, but definitely what you said, Josh, he definitely brings in an act of calmness, which is not something that you'd ever say that David Luiz ever would do.
Yeah, I think he's matured in his kind of, since we last saw him, maybe in his first stint at Chelsea. Jace, I just want to ask you about Guendouzi's performance and then hand over to Carl for the questions. Yeah. So, yeah, what did you reckon to Guendouzi? And because we saw him drop back into kind of a three, didn't we, a little bit?
Sometimes, kind of... yeah. Sometimes I think he's continuing to grow and develop. You know, I think his passing distribution's slowly getting better. I think the one thing that I was worried about that I saw a little bit in the first half is him and Willock. I think one of the reasons why we had an issue breaking the press really early on was because him and Willock are trying to figure out who needs to move into that middle spot when to be able to receive the ball in between the pressing strikers that Burnley had. And I think there was just a little bit of confusion because they're still both, one, they're both super young, and two, they haven't played a lot together. So they were trying to figure that out. I think once they figured that out about halfway through the first half, we were able to break open. And I believe it was Guendouzi who sort of – or actually, I think it was Willock, I take that back, who was able to sort of play out and then set us free on the break to Danny, where we had really caught sort of – Danny was in between Burnley's midfield and defense with a lot of space. And so it was just working that out, but I you know, I'm really, really pleased with the development and the progress I'm seeing from Guendouzi. He seems a lot less frenetic on the ball as he did last season. He still needs to calm down just a little bit. I think it just may be he's so long that, you know, his he looks like he's flailing a lot. But it was really good to see, and I think the other good thing to see was the more and more the game went on. Again, I go back to that Spider-Man meme, but it was more and more Guendouzi and Luiz finding the right spaces to play the ball into to each other to help break the press. And that was encouraging to see. So he's still, you know, Guendouzi's still going to have some mistakes in his games, and he's still going to be out of position a little bit at times and have to try to play catch up a little bit, you know, when he does get sucked up the field sometimes. But I feel like, you know, overall he had a pretty decent game, and it's just him continuing to get reps, especially with the new teammates around him. Because, you know, we played a lot with Shaka and a lot with Torreira last season. But now, you've got Luiz and Willock that he's really sort of pairing with since he was on that left side of that base. But really, really positive stuff from him, and still areas where he needs to improve, though.
Cool. I'll pass over to Carl for questions then.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for asking the question. I'll try and get through as many of these as humanly possible. The first one is for you, Mr. Jason, and it's from Junior Gunner. And he says, I believe our system doesn't allow us to create many chances. The general passage of play doesn't get the best out of our strikers in terms of chance creation. I don't believe Emery has fixed this. Do you necessarily agree with that statement?
I think we're still working the kinks out on this system. A few new players in the team, some youngsters, everybody's still trying to figure themselves out. And like I said, early in the match, I was thinking, you know, are we just this bad at breaking the press to get upfield? Or is Burnley just that good at pressing? I think it was a little bit of both there where we're trying to figure it out. But I do think as the season progresses, we're going to see more chances. We're going to see more breakaways with Pepe, with Ceballos. You know, once Tierney gets in there as well, as great as a defender as he is, he's also a really, really good player with the ball at his feet going down that left side. So I think the chances are going to come. It's just trying to get this – we still don't have a first 11 right now, and I don't know if Emery as ever truly has a first 11. You know, he likes to set up against his opponents. So that may be changed a little bit, but he doesn't, I don't even think we have like the base sort of 7 to 8 guys that he's going to play at week in and week out yet. I think he's still trying to figure that out with the youngsters, with the new signings. And so I think we will see more and more chances created. I think the one thing for me that everybody sort of complains about, but I think it's difficult for most teams, is how do you break down a team that has, you know, 10 or 11 men behind the ball? That's what a lot of teams that we're going to play against this year are going to do, and that's difficult for anybody. The good news is I think we have the dribblers now that we need to help go past people in those situations, especially in the Ceballos and the Pepes, and they just have to get bedded into this team. But I do think that when they start to get embedded in, and starting maybe October, November, December, we'll really start to see us start to wear teams down a little bit more, dribble past players when they've got everybody behind the ball, and create more opportunities there when teams are just parking the bus in front of us.
Definitely. I think it all depends on who we're playing as well, because if you got a team, say like next week, Liverpool, who mm-hmm. they're going to attack us, there's going to be more space created. So we could transition probably yeah. better against a team like that.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay, Josh, this is from Peter Coulson, and he says, Danny is a baller. I love him to sign for us. What are the chances?
Ooh, I think the one thing that gives me hope is that Real Madrid can still buy players. So the kind of his options might get smaller over the kind of, you know, the ongoing window. So hopefully there isn't a place for him back at Real Madrid so we can have him selfishly. So if, say, a Paul Pogba goes there and they have a midfield of Pogba, Casemiro and Isco, well, you know what? Danny might look at that and go, there's not a chance I can break into that. It's between him and Isco in that kind of midfield. And maybe another bigger player comes in as well. If someone else has another great tournament or great season, and again, he gets knocked down the pecking order, I think that's what gives me hope, is that because he's at such a huge side, that Zidane might not fancy him as well.
Yeah, I definitely think so. But Zidane changes his mind so often. Like, he doesn't like Bale, and next he's willing to work with Bale, probably to do with the injuries that his players are dropping like flies lately, aren't they? Jason, this is for you from John Bernstein. He said, should we stay with a back four next week, obviously playing Liverpool, mm-hmm. And put David Luiz as a DM?
That's tough, because I think you're bringing in Chambers, and I really like Chambers. I think I'm one of the few that thinks he's got a good potential here for to get in this team. I really like sort of him and Holding is like that English base in the center of defense there that I really like. I think he's got a lot of room to still continue to develop, but I think his ceiling is not as low as maybe we think it is. That being said, I don't know if I would probably do that. I would probably more want a back three with Luiz in the middle. And then you can put Socrates and Chambers either side of him, or Socrates and Monreal. But I still think I'd rather go with a back three just to be sure, because we know that the Liverpool front three are going to come from all crazy angles. And the more we can cover those angles with more defenders at the back, I think the better. And then if Luiz wants to move up and push up a little bit in the middle of the pitch when we have the ball, I think he would have the freedom to do that. But I think I'd much rather see Luiz in the middle of a back three than a back four with Luiz in front of him.
I have to agree. Quickly to you, Josh, would you go with a back four or back three against Liverpool next week?
Oh, it's a tough one. It depends on whether or not we want to stop Liverpool or we want to kind of take the game to them. I think always, especially under Wenger, it was always we take the game to them. We don't change our team based on what the opponent's doing. I think looking at it, what's in our midfield, I would think we should really just pack that midfield out instead. So probably a four at the back, but this might change if I'm on the preview show and I go three at the back, because really I am massively undecided on the whole thing.
All right, I'm going to stick with you, Josh, for now. And this is a question from Thomas from Norway. He says, what's the thing with playing out from the back with the keeper? It seems to get into trouble a lot. Is it a new trend in football?
Yeah, I think it's good for us, to be honest. Although, especially the pundits on BT Sport, we're always putting it out there, when we didn't play out from the back well or we lost possession. But look what happens when we played it long with Leno. Burnley won it in the air. So at least this way, we're guaranteeing we've still got possession of the football with this kind of play out from the back. And it's the same with the kind of the Man Cities, and Liverpool don't do it as much because they are a glorified long ball team, Liverpool. But in terms of those other kind of player teams that like to play with the ball, it's one of those that is a kind of, at least we've got possession of the ball and we can play it through our midfield. One of the big things with Ceballos and why he looks so good is he was almost immune to the press. I think that's where we've seen over the number of previous seasons where we've not been able to do it so well because we haven't had that kind of player. It's why we said we missed Santi for so long. It's because they can't. It's because they cut, you know, when they get pressed, they just lose the ball and we turn it over. It's the same with why we have so many issues with Xhaka, is because he's not great when he's pressed. So I think having a player like Ceballos, I think we can only get better with that. And it looks like Emery's going to stick with it. I think that's why we've kind of, brought back that kind of passing out from the back mentors to make sure we've got possession of the ball, really, because we're never going to win it post Giroud up top with a long ball.
I have to agree. Jason, sticking with Ceballos, Michael Hanneman says, can you remember a last time you had a player who made a debut that good?
Oof. Didn't Abba score in his debut? Did I get that right?
I think so.
I think he did. I want to say it was probably Abba. I know Lacazette had a pretty good debut. I don't know if he scored, but I think he had a pretty good one as well. So I'd probably say one of those two. But it is sort of rare that we have players who just come in and basically their first start, especially from another league, just come in and completely manage a game for us, right? Like he was the focal point of everything we did, even defensively. I think his positioning was really sound, and obviously, you know, winning the tackle that led to the Aubameyang goal, the second Aubameyang goal, he only scored the one. But it's really tough to remember. It's probably the best one overall from outside of a goal scoring aspect that I can remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Didn't Jose Antonio Reyes score on his debut as well? I want to say, and that's going back obviously years and years. But yeah,
I think on the flip side, you've got someone like Jovinho who got sent off on his debut for punching Joey Barton.
Oh god!
Well, to be fair, that's worth being sent off for. I mean,
I think Koscielny got sent off on his debut as well against Liverpool. I'm sure he did.
So. Yeah, I think so. I think we had a run of them.
Indeed, Josh. Thomas from Norway says, the Ox is playing for Liverpool today. How do we feel about him now? Are we fine with it?
Nah. That's my one-word answer. Nah.
I'm exactly the same. Don't about you, Jason. Are you still got feelings for the Ox or you don't care anymore?
Alex Oxlade-Huberlin?
Exactly.
Isn't that how you say Jeff's surname?
Jason, does Ozil start next week?
No.
Okay, Josh, a one-word answer from you. Does he start from you next week?
No.
Right then, we're fun the road, says. Thoughts in the game's atmosphere. It seemed electric watching from home, even it was 1-1. A lot of excitement. Home support did wonderful. So do you think this now a turning point, or do you think it's just we're still buoyant from the transfer market? Do you think sort of, and this is sorry for you, Jason, do you think, you know, the first defeat that comes or the first bad performance, and it's going to be the same old support that we had?
Well, unfortunately, some of our supporters are the same and they don't understand good signings and they don't understand football. I'm not going to call anybody out in particular, but there are always going to be people who I believe it's just in their DNA to complain now. What I will say is I do think, one, the atmosphere was – you could feel it through the TV. It was much more electric. I know there was a supporters group that was planning a bunch of stuff before, and I'm sorry that I don't remember exactly what their name was. Maybe somebody can help me out with that. But They were organizing some stuff to create a better atmosphere in the stands, and it sounds like it happened. And I hope that we can continue, even if it's a loss, whatever, that we continue to keep up the great atmosphere, because it's only going to energize the players, right? And I know it's chicken or the egg with who creates a good atmosphere, the good players doing the good things, or the fans, you know, supporting the players, causing them to do good things. It's very cyclical in that. And I think we just got to keep the support up. It sounded great in there today, singing all the way through the match. And so I do hope that, you know, the supporters groups comes together. They get sort of the, and I know the big thing that a lot of the locals have an issue with is some of the corporate or foreign fans who come who aren't necessarily fans. And I hope that the energy in the Emirates just becomes so electric that no matter who goes, you have to be a part of it. And hopefully this can be sort of the turning point to get out of the old, the old Emirates library from the hybrid library to the Emirates library, that we can turn that atmosphere around and continue to get behind the team no matter what. So yeah, hopefully we can. But the realist in me says that some of our fans will, as soon as Shaka comes on the pitch and gives up the ball, we'll start booing.
Yeah, more than likely. What surprised me. All right, I'll do two more questions. To you, Josh. It's from Thomas from Norway. With all our midfield options, could Mkhitaryan struggle to get Premier League games this season?
I hope so. I really hope so.
there's that Arsenal fan again.
Yep, do you think he's more one for the cup games and also Europe?
I think in terms of his experience, there's a lot we can build on from having Mkhitaryan in the side. But to be honest, I'm kind of enjoying the... I kind of enjoy not having him in the side at the moment. If we've got to fly out to Baku again, you know, there's another game he can't play. But in terms of kind of a sensible one, yeah, I think we've got enough options now that if you're in form, you're staying in the side, irrespective of your status in the team. I think we kind of saw it with Mesut Ozil last season. Maybe Aaron Ramsey a little bit. I think there was a bit more going on with his kind of situation. Mm-hmm. But look at Reece Nelson coming into the side.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Willock, again, they played well last week. I thought it was really harsh on Chambers that he didn't start today.
Definitely.
Really harsh. But these kind of things happen. But I think we've got a manager as well who goes with, it doesn't really matter what your name is on the back of your shirt. If you're going to play for me, you're going to play for the side and you're going to put in decent performances, you're going to start games.
Very true. Okay, last one, and I'll end it on next week's game. Can we afford to play out from the back next week against Liverpool, Jason?
I'm not sure whether we can afford to. I think we're going to. I think Emery is resigned in his style is to play out from the back. I did actually love how the stadium basically cheered when towards the end of the match we started playing it long, and Leno was waving everybody forward. We gave some cheeky cheers for that. I think we are going to continue to play out from the back. I think the one thing that we have seen, again, with Chambers last week and then with Luiz this week, was the fact that if we are being pressed or harried, we can just hoof it up. And we're not going to try, you know, too much. There are too many risky balls. I know Luis played one that sort of flashed in front of the goal, but it was curling away from the goal. Still somewhat risky, though. But I do think we're going to try to continue. I think we may have a little bit more of a balance from playing out of the back next week and not try to force it as much and maybe try to go a little more direct to get over that pressing Liverpool front line.
Yeah, I agreed. Josh, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you very much. I think that is it, isn't it, from the Burnley game. There's only a couple of shout-outs I want to have at the end for the couple of you guys who donated, J-Rob and Michael Hunnan. Thank you very much, as always. Just looking at the chat box, I've not even made that 100 likes I asked for. What the fuck? Disgusting.
We won't. Josh won't turn this off until we get 100 likes, and you'll be forced to view him the rest of the afternoon.
The only thing that's making me want to turn it off right now is because we've started streaming 69 minutes ago and the child in me is enjoying that. So let's make this podcast 69 minutes long. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Jason. You've got 30 seconds to say fuck Ellis before I hit end broadcast.
Hashtag fuck Ellis and RIP Lord Hill Wood.
I absolutely echo those sentiments.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.